There's that quip that says, to live above with saints we love, well, that'll be just glory. But to live below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. On this All Saints Day, I want to actually focus more on the saints below rather than on the saints above. Talking about the church, the present church, the churches in which we live, in which we fellowship. In our services, I've been currently working through the four elements of what the church is calling a Methodist way of life, something which is being promoted by the Methodist Church across the UK. And we have spent a bit of time looking at the first of those, which focuses on worship, our worship together as God's people, but also the day-by-day element of worship in our own lives, in our prayer, in the ongoing offering of ourselves and our lives to God. And we're busy at the moment with the second area, that of learning and caring, which concerns our life as a church family, living below with the saints that we know. In our reading in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, we encouraged you, we comforted you, and we kept urging you to live the kind of life that pleases God. We encouraged, we comforted, and we urged you to live the kind of life that pleases God. I want to focus today specifically on the first of those, the aspect of encouragement. Paul's partner in his first missionary journey was a man by the name of Barnabas. His original name was Joseph, but because of this amazing, encouraging nature that he had, he was given the name Barnabas, which means a son of encouragement. And Barnabas, I think, is a model for us in this very important element of our caring for each other. I want to look at three examples in the book of Acts of Barnabas's encouraging nature and how they are a lesson for us. The first we heard about in our reading in Acts chapter 9. Paul had just recently been converted from Saul as he was, the persecutor of the church, to becoming Paul, a bold preacher for Jesus. But one can understand that the leaders of the church would have been rather suspicious. Was this maybe just a ploy by this persecutor of the church to infiltrate their ranks and so be able to do his work even more effectively? And so they keep Paul at arm's length, as it were. But as we read there, it is Barnabas who convinces them of the genuineness of the change that had occurred in Paul's life. We live in a world in which we are constantly being told that we aren't good enough. We are bombarded by advertisements that tell us that we've only really arrived when we have the correct outfit, or when we are driving the right car, when we are eating the right food, or reading the right magazines. And so the church can and should be the place where people are affirmed for who they are, just as they are. They may have a history, as Paul did, but the ultimate truth about each person is that each one is individually created and loved by God. And in the church, we should be modeling, expressing that truth by our own love and acceptance of each other. I read of a young woman who was in the process of trying to leave her life of prostitution. She was talking to a counselor, and this counselor asked her whether she'd consider linking up with the church in order to help her in this process of rehabilitation. A church, she said. Why would I want to do that? I already feel bad enough about myself. They would only make me feel worse. Sadly, that is some people's view of the church, and probably not without reason. But as followers of Jesus, we should be known, shouldn't we, as a family that affirms the worth of people, whoever they may be, who affirms each person as a beloved child of God. The second example of Barnabas as an encourager happens some years later. After Paul's explosive appearance onto the Christian stage, he recedes into the wings for something like 8 or 9 years. As we understand it, we don't have many details, but it seems like he went off to Arabia, almost like an extended retreat, a time away from everything to probably work through the meaning and the implications of his new life as a Christian. And then at some point he returns to Tarsus, his hometown in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. Still very far away from the hub of the Christian activity centered in Jerusalem. About that time, Barnabas was sent by the church leaders from Jerusalem to Antioch in Syria, where there was a growing Christian mission. And while he was there, Barnabas made a special journey to Tarsus, which was about another 150 miles further north, northwest, especially to find Paul, whom he'd obviously heard about, who had returned to Tarsus, to go and be with Paul and invite him to come and share in that work in Antioch. Barnabas recognized the gifts that Paul had. And he goes out of his way, 150 miles out of his way, to draw Paul into the work of God, to use the gifts and the talents that he recognized in Paul. And part of our encouragement of others is in affirming, recognizing and affirming the gifts and the abilities that they have. In 1 Corinthians, Paul, speaking about spiritual gifts, says this: the Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person. God gives each of us certain gifts and abilities, every one of us. And one of the things that we need to do within the church is to seek to affirm those gifts in other people. Very simply, for example, I may say, you always offer such a warm welcome here at church. It's such a gift. Or I may say, your musical talent is such a blessing to us. Or your gift of flowers really helps to beautify our church. Or you have a wonderful way with children. Have you ever thought of getting involved, working with them in the church? Sadly, even in the church, there can sometimes be a feeling of rivalry or competition, especially between people who maybe have similar gifts working in a similar area. And as a result, we may not want to affirm, compliment others in their gifts, because maybe we don't want to, as it were, elevate them and their talent above our own. I'm sure it doesn't happen in your church or mine. I know it does in some other churches, but I'm sure not in this one. Friends, let's encourage each other and the gifts that we see in each other. Someone in this congregation did that for me during this past week, and I'm sure still feeling some of the warmth that brought to my heart. The third and the last example of Barnabas takes place when there's this sad rift that we read about that occurred between Paul and Barnabas. Paul was unhappy about taking a man by the name of John Mark, a young man, with them on their second missionary journey. Because John Mark had let them down, he'd bailed out early on the previous trip. But Barnabas keeps faith with this young man, and he takes him under his wing, as it were. He takes him along on his missionary journey to Cyprus, while Paul elected to go on a different journey to Asia Minor, and he takes with him Silas. Who was right or wrong in this disagreement is not really important here. But I think what is important is that Barnabas comes alongside John Mark in what must have been a difficult, painful time of his life. And through this affirmation and through this encouragement, John Mark is affirmed, and that probably played no small part in him becoming an important leader in the early church later on. Barnabas stands with his fellow Christian in his time of hardship, and he helps him to get through it. And a vital part of our care for each other in the church is to come alongside those who have taken a serious knock in life. Whether or not it was something of their own making, that's not really the point. They need our support and comfort and encouragement in that time. I remember somebody describing the church as the shock absorber of society. And here people should be able to find unconditional love and encouragement and support to help them through the shocks and the knocks of life. I feel our church here at Leatherhead Methodist has a good track record in this regard, which has come to the fore in these recent difficult months. And I want to encourage all of us to continue in that way, to support others in the face of the challenges that we face in this time of the pandemic, as well as the other struggles that people face along the way. But friends, I want to add this as I draw to a close, to say that it's difficult to offer these different types of encouragement if we don't allow ourselves to become open and even vulnerable with each other. For example, something that all the way through my ministry has concerned me is that sometimes when people are ill, maybe going into hospital for an operation, there are times when a person asks that nothing is said to others in the church about that. Now, we need to respect people's feelings, and in some cases that attitude may be justified. But I would encourage people to, if at all possible, to let others know, to know about some special need that they have. We don't have to tell everybody, but at least to be able to share with one or two other people who can stand with us, who can pray for us, who can support us and encourage us through those times. because without that kind of openness and vulnerability, we aren't able to offer, are we, to others the encouragement and the support that they need in their times of difficulty. With this Methodist way of life, there is the suggestion that we have another person or a group of people with whom we talk about our journey of faith generally and how are we doing. And the idea is that we are able to support and to encourage and pray for each other and keep each other accountable in our spiritual walk. And it's that kind of openness and that kind of sharing with others that we are able to better care for each other, to encourage each other, to do better, as Paul said, encouraging, in comforting, and to keep urging each other to live the kind of life that pleases God. As we sang earlier, brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Amen.